Thank you for standing by, and welcome to the FirstGroup third quarter trading update call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by a question-and-answer session, at which time, if you wish to ask a question, you'll need to press star and one on your telephone keypad. I must advise you this conference is being recorded today, Friday the 17th of January, 2014. I would now like to hand the conference over to your speaker today, Mr. Chris Search. Please go ahead, sir.
Thanks, Helen. Good morning and welcome to our third quarter update. This morning I'm joined by Nick Chevis and Rachel Borthwick. In summary, there is no change to our guidance in respect of the overall profit. And on cash, as I've said to you before, this is expected to be broadly flat for the year. However, as you will have seen from our statement this morning, there is a change in the mix of the profit, with student now being behind our previous expectations, which is being offset by trading either above or in line at each of our other divisions, which means that at a group level, overall expectations are unchanged. So now turning to each division in more detail. In student, we remain confident in our plan to transform this business, and our medium-term objectives are unchanged. This confidence is underpinned by the fact that we will achieve the $100 million of savings this year and have identified significant further savings to go for in the future. We said at the half year that conditions were tough, and these have remained so. A significant challenge for this business is that cost inflation is currently running marginally ahead of price indexation built into the vast majority of our multi-year contracts. We expected some of this, and as we moved into the second half, which as you know is when the majority of the profit is earned, we were aiming to accelerate some of our future cost savings to mitigate these pressures. However, so far in the early months of the second half, we have not been able to fully offset them. The weather isn't helping either. As a result of the conditions, particularly in early January, we have seen a high single-digit dollar adverse profit impact from school closures as a result of this severe weather. I do emphasize that it is particularly unusual with schools closing across the whole country due to the extreme cold, even down into the southeast, which normally doesn't experience such weather. Therefore, taking all of this into account, we expect margins to be only slightly ahead of last year's 7.4% on flat revenues as previously guided. Our drive to improve the returns from the portfolio of contracts means that our focus remains on those markets where our superior offering is truly valued. And finally, on student, as we continue to push ahead with this focus on returns, and continue to grind out the efficiencies at approximately 550 locations, we have refreshed management with the appointment of the new president of student. Dennis Maple joined us on the 13th of January, and we're delighted to have secured his appointment. He has a great track record in the same market and strong relationships with many of our customers, and he will help to drive forward the turnaround program to the next level, and you will have the opportunity to meet him next week at our Investor Day. Turning now to transit, this business continues to perform very strongly, continuing the trend of good growth, which, as previously indicated, we expect to be north of 7% for this year, whilst maintaining the excellent margins that we've seen in previous years. The transit team continue to win a range of business with both larger contracts, such as the recent win of paratransit business in Chicago and the ongoing pipeline of many small to medium-sized contracts. For Greyhound, the tough market conditions we set out at the half year do continue to be a challenge, particularly in Greyhound's traditional business, where the value-focused customers do feel the effect of the subdued economic environment. But we did achieve overall revenue growth of 0.3% during the period. Greyhound Express continues to do very well and had growth of nearly 13% during the period, and our overall expectations for the top line are unchanged. And importantly, we're holding the margin expectations as the strong focus on cost containment and the benefits of the work done to create a more flexible operating model prove increasingly effective. We are confident that there are significant medium-term revenue growth opportunities coming from the implementation of real-time pricing, yield management, and smart ticketing technology across Greyhound's national network, and the investment program to deliver this is on track. We are very pleased with the performance in UK bus. The turnaround program is right on track, and we delivered 2% revenue growth during the period. More importantly, this was underpinned by very strong passenger volume growth, demonstrating the success of the plans that we are putting in place to rebalance pricing and stimulate volumes. In summary, on bus, we are very pleased with how the program is going, and you saw the announcement yesterday about the bus order for £70 million for 425 buses, and our confidence in this division continues to grow. In rail, this business has also performed very well during the period, despite some harsh weather conditions which impact on operating performance and disrupt services to our customers. Overall revenue during the period was up 6.3%, and this was underpinned by strong passenger volume growth across all of our franchises. Also, as you all know, we are involved in some major projects working in partnership with equipment manufacturers and Network Rail. During the period, a number of these projects have come to fruition or have made significant further progress, and this, together with the strong volume, accounts for the upgrade in our expectation for rail for the year. You will have also seen this morning's announcement from the DfT announcing that we have been shortlisted on the East Coast franchise, and we are one of just three. So in summary, there are clearly short-term challenges in student, albeit that we are achieving the turnaround program and the benefits from it. I would emphasize that our confidence for that reason in hitting the medium-term objectives remains high. In bus, we are particularly pleased with the progress made in the turnaround so far, and specifically the tangible results that are now coming through. Although we are conscious and remain conscious that in some of our markets, the local economy remains tough, but despite that, our confidence continues to increase. In transit, Greyhound and rail, those businesses are all performing well, either in line or ahead of expectations. Finally, I would add that we are delighted to have John McFarlane as our new chairman. We are certain his experience, guidance, and track record of value creation will be invaluable as we work through our programs to deliver long-term, sustainable shareholder value. I will now hand back to Helen to take any questions.
Thank you. As a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press star and one on your telephone keypad and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press the hash key. Your first question comes from Jamie Rowbotham from Morgan Stanley. Please ask your question.
Morning, guys. Three questions, if I may. The first one's on student. You mentioned, Chris, cost inflation in student as one of the things that's cancelling out the margin improvement that you were hoping for this year. Which costs are inflating more than you would ideally like? I presume it must be one of the more material items in the cost base, like wage costs. If you could give some colour on that, and is there not a risk that that's an issue again next year? The second question, I get the impression UK Rail is the main division that's kind of bailing you out in terms of being able to leave overall expectations for the group unchanged. What's the potential range of outcomes for rail profit this year? You know, could we get another double-digit million upgrade to operating profit in the fourth quarter, and what's behind the improved performance versus your expectations in rail? And finally, if you're able to comment on this, I wondered whether the latest Sandell presentation has led you to think any differently in terms of the potential benefits of debt restructuring. Thanks.
Thanks very much, Jamie. I'll take each of those in order. The key within our contract portfolio is that there is a range of different inflators across the whole portfolio. And some of the contracts, there are fixed increases. and some of them it is CPI. The vast majority of all those contracts have inflators. CPI, for example, will vary whether it's state, local, or national. And what is important there is the mix of how all those inflators come together. And overall, normally what happens, those come out in line with CPI. This year with the mix, it has come out slightly below, which is why you've got cost inflation. Then you've got, on top of that, increases in tax rates. Tax rates have been growing, so this is taxes on payroll costs. Taxes have been growing at between 6 and 7%, and similarly with medical cost inflation. And it's all of that together that has caused cost inflation overall to outweigh those pricing inflators. In terms of what happens next year, we take that into account. We are seeing generally inflation easing, but as we price the new contracts going into next year, we take that into account. And then in certain of our contracts, you also have the possibility of rebasing that pricing, but not major. In terms of UK, yes, significant upgrade to the numbers this morning. And that's on the back of very strong trading with very, very good volume increases underpinning the top-line revenue growth. And also the projects that I talked about, those tend to be of a lumpy nature because they are quite major in size, but they are regular. But in terms of setting the position for this year, I wouldn't see another double-digit upgrade to the rail numbers, but obviously this morning there is a major upgrade. In terms of the recent paper from Mr. Sandel and his team, we received, like many people, the 54-page document on Wednesday. We've looked through that. Although there are some changes in the overall presentation of their proposition. In essence, it's the same proposition as we've talked to them previously on. So our overall position, I refer you back to our 11th of December statement where we said that in our view and the view of the board is that we think that the maximizing shareholder value will come from driving forward our turnaround programs, and that's what we're focused on going forwards. In terms of the specific reference to debt, then, again, there is nothing in there that changes our current policy.
Thanks, Chris.
Your next question comes to the line of Joe Thomas from HSBC. Please ask your question.
Morning, Chris. We're blaming partly bad weather for the downgrade in student profits this year. We did have Hurricane Sandy, of course, last year. Can you just remind me what the impact was from Hurricane Sandy? I think you're saying that this year we've got sort of single-digit downgrade from snow, and I'd just like to know what the comp is. And then secondly, with respect to the cost inflation and Jamie's question just then, tax increases and high medical costs, I would have thought you would have had some visibility on when you reported at the November trading update. Can you just tell me, perhaps, first of all, if you didn't, why you didn't, and if there's something else that's sort of come out of the woodwork since then?
Okay, thanks, Joe. Just before I do answer that, I just want to make one point clear on Jamie's third question. On the proposition from Sandel. I do want to make it clear that we value input and suggestions from all of our shareholders, and we keep all options under review going forward. So I just want to make that very clear. In terms of the bad weather, last year we said the impact of Sandy was $13 million, so that obviously comes back this year. And then on the weather this year that we've experienced over the last few weeks, the impact of that is high single digits on profit. So those are the comps. In terms of cost inflation, as I mentioned during the script, we did see some of this coming. Obviously, the rate it comes through increases in the second half, just because that's where the bias is of profits. And our plan was to offset that by advancing some of the cost efficiencies, which we're very confident on, from next year into this year. The issue has been the rate that we've been able to advance those.
Okay, thank you. So just coming back to the weather issue, if we have a good run on weather and we don't have any hurricanes or freak Arctic ice storms in the US, we should be expecting in a good year to add about what sort of $20-odd million to the profit number, should we?
Well, I think I've said that you had the impact. Effectively, you've got the Sandy impact being broadly offset by the bad weather across the whole country this year, and that's the two numbers I mentioned, 13, 10. It's more those sorts of numbers than 20 million I would use.
Okay, thanks.
Your next question comes from the line of Damian Brewer from RBC. Please ask your question.
Yes, good morning, everybody. Probably three-ish questions, if I can, please. First of all, turning to UK, just on the bus volume, it does feel a bit like an inflection point if the volumes are now starting to outpace the revenue growth. Between, you know, Q1, Q2, and Q3, could you give us some feel of how much more of the business has been incrementally transformed, at least from the customer-facing sales and service perspective, if not from the sort of what sits behind that, the engineering perspective, just to give some idea of the momentum that sits behind this. Secondly, on the rail side, with the upgrade there, obviously you've got the leverage of demand growth in TransPennine and ScotRail. Could you give us some idea of how much of, you know, the lift in potential profitability is being driven by underlying demand factors, rather than these one-off project costs or project profits, I guess? And then as a result of all that, and really rolling into the third question, as a result of the mix of the sort of the profit change in terms of the mix, how does that affect both the sort of operating cash flow outlook of the business? Is the timing of the rail profits as those convert into cash flow the same as school bus, or is it different? And does that have any implications on the tax rate of the business as well, with different profit streams within the group? Thank you.
Thanks very much, Damien. I'm just trying to write those down. Okay, so on UK bus as an inflection point, I think that's a very good phrase, actually, and yes, I would use that. If you look at the overall revenue growth during the period of 2%, the underlying volume growth was actually higher than that. We've had negative yield during the period, but that's purely because of the programs that were going through to rebalance the commercial offering, and therefore you get fare reductions that stimulate the volume, and we've seen that very much coming through. And as we look at the trends on volumes from period to period to period, the volume growth is ever increasing, which again, is that's the principal reason that we have the increased confidence that I referred to. It is that long-term trend that we're now seeing of volume increases. Again, if you go back to before Giles and his team started the turnaround, generally flat to negative volume positions in the past. In terms of the rollout of the transformation program, there's clearly different elements to it, with the implementation of the discipline procedures, the investment in buses, and the rebalancing of the commercial proposition. And as you go through region by region, each of those are at different stages, but it depends which of those you look at, but I'd say broadly halfway.
Thank you.
And in terms of the split between the rail upgrade coming from just underlying trading and the one-off projects, about 50-50.
Thank you.
And then in terms of mix of the overall profit and cash, yes, you're quite right that rail dividends come through at a slightly different rate, but the guidance that I've given before, which is that cash will be broadly flat for the year, and I think I said on this equivalent call last time that that means plus or minus 20 million on the size of the cash flows in this business, that is the accuracy to which we call it. then there's no change in that overall guidance. And similarly, no change in the overall guidance on the tax rate of 22%.
Very clear. Thank you.
Your next question comes from the line of Edward Stanford from Lazarus Partnership. Please ask your question.
Good morning, everybody. Just if I may follow up on one of Damien's questions a little bit more on the sort of projects you're doing in rail. Could you perhaps amplify the sort of projects that have been come to fruition and perhaps give some idea as to sort of the sort of pipeline, if any further projects are in train that may affect profitability in coming years?
Yeah, it's principally in TPE and in First Capital Connect. And these tend to be projects that relate to new network arrangements, new timetable arrangements, new rolling stock coming on board. And it's where we work with the Roscoes, the equipment manufacturers, and Network Rail. So it's those types of projects where our expertise that we bring to the party means that these other players and the government look to us to say, look, how do we make this network work as efficient as possible? And obviously it needs all the different partners to work together to be able to do that. And it's those sorts of projects. Going forward, there are similar projects. They will vary, as I said, they tend to be very large projects, so they do tend to come through in lumps, but overall I would see them coming through at a very similar rate in future years.
And can I just as a follow-up to that, in these sort of arrangements, is there therefore some kind of explicit profit element to the project at the outset? Is that how it works?
Yeah, it's there are targets of achieving the deadlines on the individual projects. So if there's new rolling stock coming in or a new timetable, you have to hit those targets, and that leads to specified milestone payments.
Thank you.
Thank you. Your next question comes from the line of Alex Brignall from UBS. Please ask a question.
Good morning, gents. Thanks very much for taking the questions. I have two, if that's okay. The first one, just on student, it seems like you are becoming a lot more rational in terms of contracts going forward and the focus on returns. I guess, I think I've asked this before, but is there a percentage of contracts having done a lot of work into your portfolio that you now look at and say, if nothing improves in these, we'd be happy to roll them off because they don't reach the targets that we're setting? And how quickly does that happen? And is that the contributing factor that means that revenue growth is likely to be broadly flat going forward? The second one, just a bit of a boring one, really, but in terms of working capital that you have on the balance sheet at the moment from rail, given that we're now going into these contract awards, could you just give us a small split of the working capital that you have on, particularly for the franchises that are coming up most soon? Thank you very much.
Okay. Alex, thanks for that. I think your assertion that we're being more rational, I'm not going to judge what happened in the past. I just know what my focus is. And my focus is on driving forward returns. The fact is we will not take business that's below our cost of capital. And we increasingly focus our efforts where we can get pricing, returns, margins in markets where customers truly value the fact that our service, in our view, is superior to the alternatives. So that's absolutely right as we drive that forward. We've said in the past that there were a small number of loss-making contracts, which those are certainly up or out. There are contracts which are lower margin for various reasons that we've had in the past. We believe that we can turn those into higher margin, but if they don't, then yes, that will certainly be up or out, and we will drive that forwards. In terms of your working capital point, I'm not quite sure I understand your question. Is it what happens if we lose the franchises?
Yeah, just, I mean, call it what you will, working capital, restricted cash, or any tied-in cash that you would lose should those franchises go.
Yeah, it's broadly, for the bigger contracts, it's 60-70 million, and then obviously for any smaller contracts, about half that. I mean, what we've said in the past, the way people have measured this is to look at the total working capital, which would be about 200 million.
Yeah.
Now, that assumes obviously we would lose everything. Now, given where we play in the rail market as the number one player, and given where we expect to be in the future, and this morning's announcement obviously endorses that with our selection for the shortlist on East Coast, we plan to be a major player. Obviously, the shape of the portfolio we will see in the future, but clearly there is a technical risk there, but we do not see that.
Okay.
It'll be more what happens on a timing issue as to when franchises come in and out.
Yeah, okay. Thank you very much indeed.
Your next question comes from the line of Anand Dates from Deutsche Bank. Please ask your question.
Morning, everyone. I just wanted to follow up a bit on Damien's question as well. So my question is, in terms of where you see the UK bus network and the areas that you think need significant kind of fare changes, how far do you think you're through that? I think you might have said halfway earlier, so I just wanted to confirm that. And then how long do you think it takes before you can rebase those fares? You know, is it a one-year project or is it a two-year project? Rebase the other half of those fares. Because I'm just thinking, you know, volume growth underlying is very, very good, then hopefully once we get all the fare rebasement out of the way, that should start to come through. And then just on US bus, in terms of pricing power, are you seeing weakness there? And if you are, could you go into perhaps why you're seeing weakness there? Are there any specific players who are being more aggressive, or is it just school boards don't want to pay as much? Or, you know, just be interested to see what's going on there. Thank you.
Sure. Thanks very much, Anand. Yes, first of all, to confirm what I said earlier, broadly halfway through the process. In terms of what happens, we work out, and I do have to make it very clear, it's the solution for each market is different, and that's our overall approach anyway, and we've talked about this previously. It is down to the local management to come up with the solution for each of their particular markets. That clearly then goes through Giles and his team, and they look at that, and then it comes up to the central team here before we then push ahead with those changes. But for each market, it is different. What we then look to do is to change the fares, both simplification. In some areas, it may mean reducing particular fares significantly. In other areas, it may mean increasing some of the fares. What we then put that into place, and our aim is over a relatively short period, i.e. months, not years, that we then we get paid back with volume increases to offset the revenue the yield shortfall, and aim for flat revenue. Once you've done that and that settles down, then you go back to how a normal bus company would operate with fare increases, probably on an annual basis. So I can't give you one stock answer to every different situation. What I would say, though, is looking at the overall plan, which is to increase our margins from 5% to 10% over the medium-term frame, that's what we have in mind, and it's through this process and what's been happening, particularly in the last quarter, but the previous periods to that, that gives us the confidence to really drive that forward, because we are being very much rewarded in the volume increases. On student, pricing power, I would define it what I said in my upfront comments. It's all about cost inflation being higher than the pricing mechanisms that we have is the main issue that's causing the movement in the numbers today. In terms of bidding, I would say that it's generally very rational now. I mean, we have seen in previous years some irrational players coming in and lowballing their bids, but less so in recent times. So I think that is far more rational. Obviously, the school boards are under continued cost restrictions, but they want to have a service to get the children taken to and from school in a safe way and with the services that we offer. So that is a proposition that we go to the market with.
Okay. No, that's fantastic. Thank you.
As a reminder, it's star and one to ask a question. Your next question comes from the line of Joe Spooner from Jefferies. Please ask your question.
Morning, Chris. I'm just trying to better understand what really needs to change in terms of the First Student business. I mean, you've been chiseling away with $100 million of cost savings that you've done the work, but that's still got to annualize through. And yet you're not seeing that drop through to the bottom line. I mean, I appreciate what you're saying around indexation, et cetera. But presumably that mismatch of indexation and what's in the contract lasts. So I'm just trying to understand how future cost savings can actually benefit the bottom line. What needs to change? Do you need all of the current contracts to kind of work their way through and get onto new contracts that perhaps better reflect the cost structure? Secondly, on the East Coast, I know there's just three shortlisted for that. I wonder if you could share any insights as to why that may be. Was that indicative of low interest, perhaps, in that particular contract? And then just finally, as we're kind of approaching year-end, have you and the board updated your view on previous comments around the dividend? Thanks.
Okay, thanks very much, Joe. In terms of students, the key element is the turnaround program, i.e. the promised $100 million of saving, is working. We will achieve that by the end of the year. It is a continuation of that. And in the work that we've done, and obviously since I've been here, reviewed this work, to look at, well, where can we go in the future? And there are significant additional cost savings to come through in the future. So the first element is delivering that. The second element is driving hard on making sure that we get the pricing through that we need to, and to make sure that we've got the mix of the contract portfolio absolutely right to drive those increased returns. That's what we need to do. We've started that change. So it's continuing that change, but at an ever-increasing rate. In terms of your point on inflation, it is partly due to what's happened this year in terms of the mix of those different inflators. Normally what happens is it comes out, and it's all fine, it comes out in line with CPI. So it is something that is unusual. But to the extent that we need to cover that, we can cover that going forwards with our approach to pricing, et cetera, going forward. And as I say, there are significant cost savings that will affect that, which will drive forward that margin enhancement. But that's it is through that continual drive, and as I mentioned, Dennis will help drive that forward at a faster rate. In terms of the East Coast, I've said the DfT don't share with us all the details of what the other players are doing, but it is one of the major franchises obviously going forwards, and therefore it needs real expertise to be able to deliver on that. That's the only comment I can really make.
And on the dividend?
Oh, sorry, dividend. There has been no formal meeting to assess dividend going forwards. We normally do that as part of our fourth quarter review, so therefore there is no change into what we've previously indicated.
Many thanks.
There are no further questions at this time. Please continue.
Okay, thank you very much. Thank you, everybody, and see you next week.
That does conclude our conference for today. Thank you for participating. You may all disconnect.